Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Chav Dalet Amar Beis. We are three lines from the bottom of the words of Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So we're picking up with the story with Chanina ben Doza, how great he was, and yet he lived in such poverty. So the Gemara continues now. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Every day that a heavenly voice comes out Shemayim and says, the entire world receives the whole sustenance of the entire world. Everyone's parnasa is in the merit of Chanina, my child. Yet Chanina, my child, he's so poor, he only lives on one kav, it's a small amount of carobs from one Shabbos to the, meaning from one Friday to one Friday, from one week to the next. He survives not even with bread, just on these carobs. So he is so poor, yet the whole world is nizon. Just from him, we see the koyach of tzaddikim. They live in such poverty. And Rav Shteinman Zatzal also, he lived in the hole in the wall house, and it could be the entire Eretz Yisrael, the entire Jewish people were nizon from his chusim, something like that, you know, similar to Rabbi Chanina ben Doza. Now the Gemara continues relating about Rabbi Chanina ben Doza and their poverty. His wife, every Friday on Erev Shabbos, would heat up the oven with Sharia Katran. She would just throw some like smoke causing things, Mishum Kisufa, turning on to Naksam Dan Chavay Maralev, because she was embarrassed. She was embarrassed that the neighbors would see she had nothing to bake. And on Erev Shabbos, that this was something that would be bad for her. So there, she just threw things in the oven to look like it was smoke. She had a very bad neighbor, not a nice lady. Amra, she said, I know they're so poor. What is she just throwing in the oven? She's sick over here. She came nichti. I know they have nothing to eat. My kulehai, what are they throwing in the oven? I'm gonna show that they have nothing there and embarrass them. So she knocked on the door. She gave a knock on the door. Rabbi Chanina's wife was so embarrassed. She thought it would be public knowledge that the smoke was only camouflage. She had nothing in the oven. She was very afraid that the jig was up. Everyone's gonna see how poor they are. So she went into the inner area of the house. A miracle happened to her. All of a sudden the neighbor saw that the oven was full of bread. The agda male lisha, and a kneading trough full of dough. Amra, she said to her neighbor, told her, plinta, plinta. She said, Mrs. It's like a pony, right? It's like a, you know, Mrs. I see Masa de Kacharif Lachmich. Go bring a shovel, a baker shovel, to go. Your bread is going to get burnt. And she had tons of bread there. Amra la. Rabbi Chanina's wife replied to her, Af anilach yaili. Actually, in fact, I was going to go inside the inner chamber to go get the baker shovel. Tana, we learn in a Bryce continues with this story. Af hilahavi marda nechlas. She actually did go, in fact, to bring the baker shovel. She knew she's accustomed to miracles happening. And she kept the baker shovel in hand because she was accustomed to something like this happening. She was prepared for the bread to come out. So this is a very nice miracle that happened, so she wasn't embarrassed. Amrlai Devisaya, once Rabbi Chanina ben Doza's wife said to him, "Ad imas nazav and sarkali hai. How long are we going to suffer so much? We're so poor. We literally have nothing to eat." So Amr lay, so he said to her, "Mayna Avid, what should we do?" Bayrach min din sivin lamidach. She said, "Davin Tashem, and the holy tzaddik of the whole generation. He'll davin Tashem, and he'll give us something midi. Something, give us something to be able to live off of." Bayrach me davin for mercy. Yatsa kimin pisas yad, like a palm of a hand emerged from Shemayim. The yavale chad kare de psura de dava. He was given a whole leg from a golden table. Sheer gold came down to his house. Chaze bechama. So then he said to her in a dream, I have seen in a dream, asidi tzadiki de achle aptura de dava. In the future, the tzadikim are going to be eating at a golden table. Diisle tazkare, and it has three legs. That's how their tables had. There are three legs that held it up. However, in her dream, she saw that she was eating a table that only had two legs. She wasn't really able to stand up. She said to him, "Are you content that everyone is eating at that table? But we are eating at this other table." So again, it was Rechina's wife had this dream, and she saw this. Amrlei, she said to him, "Umay Navid." So she had this dream, and she told her husband, "This is not good. The fact that they gave us the schus, they took it, they're going to take away our schus and all the mahaba. So we're not going to have a full table because of the fact that they made this miracle for us." We saw again earlier that if you have a miracle done on your behalf, and whatever how the circumstances work, but ba'etzem, it takes away on a certain level, it will take away from your schusim. So the Gemara says, "By rachamid the nishal kanu minach." So davened Hashem that it should be taken from you. By rachamid shakua. So they davened, and in fact, it was. And it was a greater miracle that they took back the leg. Was a greater miracle than initially giving it. Why? Because the Gemara, we have a tradition, that things are given from Shemayim, Mishkol Shilke, they're never taken back. Hashem gives it, he doesn't take it back. The fact that you daven, Hashem actually took it back, to have your schusim given back, that was the greatest miracle. So then they continued to live in abject poverty. So now the Gemara continues talking about Rabbi Chanina ben Doza. Chad Beis Shimshe, one Friday night, during the Beis Shimshe, like Ben Hashmashel, so between Shkia and Tzeis, like twilight, Chaz of the Barse Davi Atzive, his daughter was very sad. Amar Le Biti, he said to his daughter, "What are you so sad about? What happened?" Lamai Atzif said, why are you so sad? I'm sad because, she said back to him, Kli shel chometz nischalafli b'kli shel shomai. We had a container. We had vinegar and oil in one, and I accidentally took the one of Vidlakti Menu or the Shabbos. I accidentally poured the vinegar to light on Shabbos, and we know that vinegar does not light. So he said, Amar La, he told her, Biti Mai Ichbat Lach, what do you care? Misha Amar Lashem and Vidlak, Hashem, who says that oil, that the nature is that oil will burn, who Amar Lachometz Elik, he's gonna make sure that the vinegar burns for us as well, that we have light on Shabbos. Tana, Brisa taught, Hayadolik Volek Kolam Kula, that the lamp continued to burn the entire, even the Shabbos day, until they brought the flame to light the Avdalah, the conclusion of Shabbos. Why didn't he just use the Avdalah, the candle that he had, the miraculous candle that was being used for the vinegar? So Rashi points out he wanted to be a nene as little as possible. He wanted to benefit as little as possible from the miracle. On Shabbos, he had no choice because he wanted to learn, whatever. Maybe he needed the light in the house. However, after Shabbos was over, the moment Shabbos was over, he decided the best thing to do was to use another light, not to be nene from the miracle that happened in his house. Now the Gemara continues with the story about Rabbi Chanina Medosa. Rabbi Chanina Medosa avelu hanach ize. He had goats. Amru lei. So people complained about these goats. Kamasadan, your goats are damaging our fields. Amar e kamasadan says, if they're really damaging our fields, like you say, nichla dube, the bears are going to eat them, and that's going to be punishment for what, for me. Ve'ilo, and if it's not true, kol chadav chadav tesei le'urta dupa bekarnaya, that each of the goats are going to come with a bear on its horns. It's a miraculous thing, which is going to clearly show that, I was right and they didn't do anything to you. Le'urta isa kol chadav chadav dupa bekarnaya, in the evening this actually happened. Every goat, brought back a bear on its horns. So Gemara continues, Ave Lahi Shiv Ichad. Rabbi Chanina had a certain woman neighbor, the Kabanya Besa, who was building a house, the Lamate Keshure, but the beams didn't reach from one end to the other. So Gemara says, Amr Lay. Banisi Besi Velo come to Keshure. I built my beams. They don't reach from wall to wall. I'm so upset about this. Amr Mashmech. He said, what's your name? Amr Lay Aiko. She said, my name is Aiko. Amr Lay Iko Nimtu Keshureyach. He said, Aiko, your beams are going to be reach from wall to the wall. Tana and Bryce, the teacher, Givat Shiatu Amalakan Vamalakan. And miraculously, it happened that the beams elongated from one end of the wall to the other. Yeshomerim, some say, Snifin Asum. The beams were made longer by the sections and miraculously added to their extensions. Tanya, we learn in Bryce, Plema Omer. Plema says, Ani Raisi Osa Baisa Yukoraso Yotos Amalakan Vamalakan. I actually saw that house myself. I witnessed that house itself. Ve'amrele, and some people told me, Baiza Shakira Rabbi Chanina Mendoza Betfila. So this is the house Rabbi Chanina Mendoza covered with the beams through his tefila. Now the Gemara asks, going back to the story with the goats, the Gemara says, wait a second. He was so poor, just as abject poverty. Goats are something where people have money. What was he using? How do you have this money? How do you use these goats? And Ahaniyave was extremely poor. And not only that, there's another problem. It was an issur to have these goats. So the Gemara Bava Kama tells us one of the zakanas that the Chachamim made was that you're not supposed to have small cattle, sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael, because those are going to graze in other people's fields and damage them. So how is it possible Chanina Mendoza lived in Eretz Yisrael would violate this halacha? So the Gemara answers, Amara, Pinchas Maisev Arva Adam Echad Al Pesach Beis Ano, because it once happened that a person passed the doorway of Rabbi Chanina's house, Viniach Sham Tegon, he accidentally left chickens there. Umatzan Ishtol Shabbi Chanina Mendoza, so this is a Elam Etzir Shadla, they left, she found these chickens, Ramallah, Al Toch Levi Betzen, she said, don't eat their eggs, don't do anything with them, they must be returned to the original owner with the chickens. So, Vihirba Beitzim Tegon, so what happened was, the eggs, there's so many eggs and so many chickens, Vayim Eternosam, they became a very big nuisance to Rabbi Chanina and his wife. So therefore, Machan, they sold the chickens as the Gemara Bava Metzia tells you a lot to do, and keep the money, and the money they'll give to the person. But still, here they bought the goats with their proceeds. This is a shaila. The Achronim are bothered by this. What do you mean that they bought Kanem and Izim? Why would they buy? Why don't they buy something else? Why would they buy goats with them? So that's why some Achronim actually take out this whole text and leave it as that the guy left Izim, and that's what they have to watch over the whole time. Okay, but either way, maybe whatever reason, that was the only thing they were able to buy for some reason or another, and they kept that. That's why they had stuck with these goats. So one time, the person who lost the chickens came by Rabbi Chanina. So he said, I left my chickens over here. Shamar Rabbi Chanina overheard this, and I'm like, yes, Simon, can you give me an addendum remark? That's the halacha above Matzi. You don't just give it to anybody who says, you found a watch. You don't just give it back. The person has to give a simon. What does the watch look like, right? So Gemara says, Amar Lahin. Says, yes, Nasan lo Simon. So he gave an identifying mark. But Nasan lo Izan, he took the goats. These were the very goats. So that's the story. This is how he had the goats. This is how the goats came about in the first place. And again, this wasn't really answered with this Rachamun are bothered by. Where does this answer that he was allowed to buy these goats from the guy's money, though? Correct? He didn't have any money. We answered that point. So it was somebody else's. But how did he buy the goats? That's a big shaila. How to answer that kasha? That's a very good kasha over here. So Mark continues, though, that's what happened over here. Now another story about Rabbi Lazar ben Padas, who also lived in abject poverty. Rabbi Lazar ben Padas, the Chikale Milsa Tuva, he was very, very poor. Avad Milsa, you once had to bloodlet, but lo avile midamitam. The Gemara on Shabbos tells us, so you have to eat. It's very important. It's critical to eat after you bloodlet. Even now, you have the blood test. A person supposed to make sure to drink a lot of liquids and water afterwards. Shakal barad the tume. So he took a little bit of garlic. And what happened? He took this garlic, v'shadeh bepume, he put it in his mouth. Chalash libe v'naim. So he grew so faint, he fell asleep. Alzerman the Shavu later, Rabbanan came to see him, wanted to hear Shimon, see him, see how he's doing. They saw in his dream that he was crying and sleeping in his sleep. And now that, there's all of a sudden like a huge shining light came, a ray of light came from his forehead. So when he woke up, so they asked him, what were you doing? Why were you sleeping and crying in your dream? What happened? You remember the dream? Yeah, I remember. I had a dream that Kadosh Baruch Hu was sitting next to me. And I said to him, how much am I going to continue to suffer in this world? Elazar, he says, Elazar, my son, he says, I'll turn the whole world back to the beginning, created anew just for you. Maybe I'll make you born in time of abundant food. I said before him, so he says, only maybe my situation will improve. What do you mean, Efshar? Maybe your situation will get better. Will it make my situation better or not? So the whole Shiloh here, what exactly was doing? Marsha wants to tell you that it didn't mean that he was going to destroy the whole world just in honor of this, but rather it meant that he would make himself, that he would be able to, through Gilgal, whatever it was, to make him die and then come in at a time which was where there was great, not poverty. So there was great food in the world. So he said to him, Dachay Tave Odechina. Is what I've lived so far the greater part of my life, or is it what I'm destined to live? I'm like, yes, what you have lived already is more important than what you're destined to live. I'm like, come imkin lobina. So therefore he says, I don't need to make you turn around the whole world for this, because I still have my portion in the world to come is not worth it for me to give this up for if I already lived most of my life. Amrali. So he said to me, what he said? He said, Bahai Agra Damas Lobina, for the reward you said, I don't desire to the world to be turned back. I'm gonna give you a great schar nolam haba. So this is 13 rivers worth of balsam oil. They're clear as the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. The Mangasu, and you can enjoy them. This obviously is a spiritual thing. This symbolizes spiritual enjoyment in the world to come. And the sense of smell is a spiritual, physical senses. Rabbi Lazar laughed because Rashi points out he was informed of this great reward. That's why he was so happy. The Gemara says, Amr Lakamide, I said before him, hi, Vesu Lo. Only this, you give me nothing more. Amr Li. So he said back to me, L'charvech Maya Avina, what am I going to give to your friends in Shemayim? I can't just give you and not them. So he says, Amr Lay, Vana Megarva de Lesle Baina, but I only ask only a portion of the person who does not have the privilege of the share of the world to come. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come. So when a Rush that doesn't get his portion, that unclaimed portion could be taken by the Tzadikim. So he's saying that I should get Mechayin Akusle Apusai. So he flicked with his fingers on his forehead. The ray of light was this, and this flicking of forehead was a sign of affection. Vamar Li, Elazar Bri, Gairi Bar Gairi. He says, I showed you my arrows. This is what happened here. This was meaning I show how much I love you, Elazar Bavadas, and that's I already showed you my light, and that light was why it was shining. That's the story over here. Now the Gemara goes back to stories about rain. We had this before on Daf Amud Beis of yesterday's Daf. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama gazer tinis. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, he declared a fast. Yet the rain did not come. So people said to him, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi, he proclaimed a fast and his fields were accepted. So what are you comparing? He said, I'm not him. He's the God of Dori. He's a tzaddik. He's a tremendous person, a pious person. I'm not on the same level as him. So I'm not surprised that the rain didn't come because of me. So say to Rabbi Shimon Levi that he should come over here, and daven together. Maybe bring him Esher, the Chavit Tzibur Lebayo. The fact that he comes and the stubbornness of the hearts of the people, they'll do a proper repentance and Hashem will listen to us and bring the rain. So he daven to Hashem, and still rain did not come. So he said to them, "Do you want rain to come in our merits?" So he wanted them to come part of the davening, to daven with them. So they said, "Of course, we want to be able to have the rain come." He said, "The sky, open your cover your face with clouds." The sky didn't listen. He said, "How?" Others like brazenness. Well, how brazen is the sky over here? Then the sky listened, and the sky ended up listening, and the rain came in. So now the Gemara continues. Levi Gadar Tanisa. Levi once proclaimed a fast. Vlasa Mitra. The rain did not come. Amar Lafanav. He said before Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Alisav Yashavta B'Maram. You sat on the high, literally, for the needs of Klal Yisrael. Ve'ena Tamarachem Anecha. You're not going to have mercy on your children. Asa Mitra. Hashem answered the tefillas and Levi, and the rain came. Ve'itla. However, Levi became. He ended up becoming lame because of this, because he spoke disrespectfully to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Lazar, la'olam ayatech adam dvarim kapi mala." Don't speak in complaint towards a complaint in a chutzpah way towards Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shrei adam gadol ayatech dvarim kapi mala v'ilay amanu levi. Because a person did this once, who was this person? Who was Levi? He did this, and he was ended up being punished tremendously and became lame because of this. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second, har gamar lay. This is the neveha. This is what caused him to become lame. That's not true. Veha Levi achve kita kamayim the Rebbe v'itla." We learn in Maseches Megillah that Levi demonstrated the kita bowing. There's a form of bowing that brings a person to the face of the ground, and you put your thumb supporting them, and you rest your thumbs in your hand. There's a basically strain on your back, and then what happened? It causes a whole back to come out, and he became lame from this. So the Gemara says, "Havah gamar lay." that both of them caused him to become lame. Because of his disrespect, he was punished with lameness. When he exposed himself to injury by demonstrating the key to bowing, that's how he ended up becoming lame. But this was the cause of that punishment. Now the Gemara continues another story about Rabbi Chiya Bar Luliane Shaminu Lahanach Anev de Kaamre Nesu Nesim Maya B'Mon Moav. So Rabbi Chanina heard these clouds were saying to each other, "Let's go give water in Amon Moav." Amar Lefan Rabbi Shalom said, "Complain Hashem." Master of the world, Kishnata Torah Amchai Yisrael, you gave the Torah to the world. Chazanat al Kamos Olam, the famous Midrash, she went around to all the other nations, you offered them the Torah, and they said, "No, thank you." Loki blew it, they didn't want it. Vashavat the Donas al Matar, you're gonna give them rain as a reward. Shadu Acha, leave it over here, leave these clouds over here, bring the rain. Shadu Adukhtayu, Rukhanina's, Rabbi Chiyah's was Tvila was answered, and the clouds miraculously poured water and rained in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues now. Darash Rabbi Chiya Bar Luliane Rabbi Chiya continue. My Dechse was a pasuk which says Tzadik Katamari Frach Eres Bavon and Iske. A righteous person will flourish like a date palm, like also like a cedar in Lebanon. In Lebanon, he will grow tall. So Inamar Tamar Lamanemar is why are we comparing them, a righteous person, to both a date palm and like a cedar? Vinamar Eres Lamanemar. If it's a cedar, it's enough. If it's a date palm, enough. Which is it? Ilu Nemar Tamar Vlo Nemar is because Rabbi Chiya by Luliane answers because had it said that a Tzadik is like a date palm, so not like a cedar. Hayisi Omer Ma Tamar turning on the next someone now onto Chafei Mabez. In Gizu Machlif, that just as the trunk of a date palm does not regenerate, the tree will not regenerate by growing new shoots once it's cut down. Av tzadik chas v'shalom in Gizu Machlif. So to a tzadik chas v'shalom, obviously heaven forbid, did say such a thing, right? Chas v'shalom, we say heaven forbid. The trunk of a righteous person does not regenerate. So even a righteous person will not be come to tchias amisim once he has died. Or Rashi, or other Rishonim explain, he will not produce a son that follows in his derech. So either way, that's a very bad thing, very bad connotation. So therefore, lachach nemar eres, that's why he refers to a cedar, that's something that does indeed regenerate. So in other words, it's ilu nemar eres. However, on the other hand, if it said that we're talking about a cedar, v'lo nemar tamar, I'd have thought he's nemar eres in osaperis. A cedar does not produce fruit, of tzadik chasvam in osaperis. So to having permitted to suggest such a thing, that a tzadik doesn't produce any fruits. The fruits of Rashi points out is the reward in the world to come. That you get the schar of ma'isim tovim and mitzvos in the world to come, he's not going to get that chas v'shalom. So obviously not. Therefore, the pasuk has to say both a date palm and a cedar in order to indicate that a tzaddik gets both their fruits and also regenerates. So he's going to have tchias ma'isim and also get the fruits. He'll get the peros of he'll get the reward for the things that he did in this world. Now the gemara continues. The eres gizel math, but wait a second though. Does a cedar really regenerate? You assume a cedar regenerates. If a person purchases a tree from his fellow in order to cut it down and use the wood, he must leave at least one tefach of the trunk above the ground. The kotis, and you cut the tree there so that it will regenerate. Bisadin hashikma, however, when a case will come to a sycamore trunk, so then the halacha is shnei tefachim, you have to have two handbreadths, that's the amount that the two tefachim is the minimum amount of the trunk will be able to grow and regenerate. However, betulas hashikma, when a case of a regular, literally a sycamore tree, a new sycamore tree, a younger one that's never cut down before, shlosh tefachim, you have to require actually three tefachim. Bekanim and gefanim, however, the case of reeds and vines, minapaka lamala, you have to cut only from the knot and above, which remain, that's going to regenerate. Bidkalim uvarazim, however, in the case of date palms and cedars, chofer lamatim mashrisi, to dig below the ground and uproot the tree entirely, the fish in gazamachli, because when the moment I agreed to cut it down, it was never going to regenerate, and since it's not regenerating, then it's no worries about just uprooting the whole thing. So we see from this brisa clearly that a cedar tree in Erez does not regenerate, unlike what the Gemara had suggested before, that a cedar regenerates based on the drasha about an Erez in the Pasuk in Tehillim. So Gemara says, Hachamai Eskinan, so what are we answering over here? That what are we dealing with? Bishar Minei Arazim. We're talking about the other type of Erez trees that other ones that we're referring to, the Kedrab Rav Huna, we see that there's multiple types of Erez trees, multiple types of cedar trees. Damar Rav Huna, Asar Minei Arazim, we actually had this Gemara in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara learned it out. How we get to the number 10, Shemar Etav, Inbar Erez, Shittim, Vahadas, the Gemara over there learns out that we learn out there's seven types of trees, the other three are Erez, are by the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah learns them out, and that's what we're learning out, the 10 types of Erez trees. So yes, the one that the Brace was talking about, that type of tree does not regenerate, but the type of tree that we're talking about in the Pasuk of Tzatik, Tamar, Yafrach, Ke'erez, Bavon, and Iske, that Pasuk, that one does, in fact, regenerate. Now the Gemara continues talking about lack of rain. The Gemara talks about Tadar Banan. Maitzer, beloved, Shagazar, Shalosh, Shasrei, Tadios, El Tzibor. One time there, Belazar, Ben Horkanos over here. He had 13 fasts on the Tzibor. This was the din of the Mishnah on Yudbez and Mabez that we saw earlier. Yet it didn't rain. So this is the last one, and people began to leave the shul. Amar Laam, Reb Elazar said to them, Tekantik, why not come to just prepare your graves? He spoke so bluntly to them in order that they should do tshuva. Go, come, Chias. Everyone started bursting out crying. Like, they really thought that was it. They had no rain. There was no waters. There was no water supply anymore. They thought they were going to die. And therefore, they did a mamish, a crazy amount of tshuva. They cried out to Hashem. V'yardu g'shamim. And the rain fell. That made such an impact on them that they were able to daven properly. And the rain fell. Shemaitzer Rabbi Lazar Shiyar Lefnei Ateva. Another time, Rabbi Lazar went down daven for the daven for the Shliach Tibor. V'amar Esrim Arba Mibrachas. As the Takana is, you make 24 brachas in the Chazar Sashats that we say during the fast days. Lo Nana, yet he was not answered. Yar Rabbi Kiva Achra. Rabbi Kiva went down to daven for the Alma the next day. V'amar Avinu Malkeinu, or maybe right after, maybe even the same day, Avinu Malkeinu, Inlan Melech Alata, he said Avinu Malkeinu, the famous Avinu Malkeinu, this is actually one of the sources we get Avinu Malkeinu for. The beautiful Tefillah Avinu Malkeinu, we have no king but you, Avinu Malkeinu, L'man Charachim Aleinu, for have passion based on your sake. The Yardik Hashemim and the rains fell. Everyone started thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, people love to talk, the Jews love to talk. So that was the talk of the town. The Rabbi Kiva was answered, and Rabbi Lazar was not. They thought Rabbi Lazar wasn't such a tzaddik. Yatz Baskal Yamar, so the heavenly voice came out Shemaim and declared, Lovne Shazek Adobazet. Rabbi Kiva has the same level of learning as Rabbi Lazar Ella, Shazet Mavir Amidosa, but the Kayach Rabbi Kiva has is that he's such a forgiving person, and people do really bad things for him, he's forgiving, so too I'm going to be forgiving to him. We see the Kayach of forgiving somebody. If anyone is someone who has any qualms with, you should forgive them. The Kayach that you forgive them, Hashem forgives you. If you are Merachim on other people, Hashem is Merachim on you. If you forgive other people, Hashem will forgive you. That is a tremendous Yisrael that we learn from the story of Rabbi Kiva. That is the lesson from Rabbi Kiva. Now the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in Braisa. On Masa Yu Hagishamim Yordin Shatibah Hoskim Natinus. At what point must the rain fall that we can stop fasting? We pointed out that Rashi points out this question only with regards to a Tainus Tzibor. However, an individual has to complete a private fast even for a difficulty which is overcome during the course of his fast. You would have to continue fasting. Only for a Tzibor you could stop fasting. So the Gemara answers, how much does it have to rain, Taka? So the Gemara says, Kamal Berech HaMacharesh Adir Meir. The Meir says that the blade of the plow has to be enough rain that it should be saturated the depth of the furrow created by a plow. That should be the amount of rain that would stop you from fasting. The Gemara continues, No, the case of dry soil, then even one tefach is going to be enough. That's less than this. And however, in the case of a medium soil, it should be required two hand breaths. In the case of people who are planting, then it should be three tefachim. That should be the amount that you would need to stop fasting before the fast even starts. There is no time that you have rain coming from the ground above. The depth of the waters rise three tefachim towards it. Even though the rising waters deep remain far below the earth's surface, there is nevertheless a certain amount of moisture generated that benefits the surface of the soil. That's what Rashi points out over here. In other words, we learn in Braisa that the deep waters corresponding only rise of two hand breaths, not one over here. So where it says Lokasha Kan Bavuda Kan Bashina Avuda. The second Braisa deals with the plowed soil. The first Braisa is dealing with unplowed soil. And Rashi says that it takes more water to penetrate the depths of a handbreadth in an unplowed soil than in a plowed one. So therefore, the first Braisa is dealing with a large rainfall that penetrates a handbreadth into unplowed soil. So that's going to require three handbreadths, three tefachim to rise in the waters of deep. The second Braisa is dealing with less rainfall. It's going to talk about a handbreadth into the soil. That's some plowed soil, which is going to be more effective with even a small amount of rain. The Gemara now continues, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kishamachnisin Esamayim Bechag, when they pour the water libations in the Mizbech during Sukkot, Tehom Omer Lechavero, the deep waters say to another, Abba Minech, gush your waters forth, Kol Shnei Re'im Ani Shomeh, because I hear the voice of two friends, the water libations and the wine libations being poured. Shnemar Tehom El Tehom Korela Kol Tinurecha, the deep waters, to the deep waters call out to your water channels. Obviously, this is a deeper level of interpretation. The upper waters are calling out to the lower waters, the sound of the liquids trickling down. That's from the one libation, and one is from the Nisach HaMayim and Nisach HaYayin. Those are the two things that are going on over here. Nagmar continues, Amar Rabba, Lididi Chazili Hai Ridya. I saw a Ridya, this Malach, there's the name of a Malach, she says, who was in charge of the rain. Pirsa Shufuse. He had a calf, and his lips are separate from one another. He smiles when he's very happy when it rains, some explain. And he stands between the lower and the upper waters and the lower waters. When the sky meets the ocean, Rashi says, that's the lower waters. The upper waters over here, La Toma Ilay Amarlay, Chashuch Mimecha, sprinkle down your waters. That's what he says to the upper ones. La Tahoma Tatay Amarlay, to the lower ones, he says, Abba Mimecha, gush your waters forth. Shnemar, Hanitanim Naru Va'aretz, it says that the blossoms are seen in the land, and the Hemshech of the Pasuk says, Hanitanim Naru Va'aretz, Eitz Zemer Giva, Kol Ator, Nishma Be'artzinu, that the blossoms have appeared in the land, the time of the song has arrived, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. The word Tor, literally a turtle dove, means in Aramaic, the Gemara is learning that when we have the libation, the lashon of two, that's what we're talking about over here. That Ridya is going to calling out to bring water from the earth. That's how Rashi explains, according to the first day of Rashi, explains this Gemara over here. Now the Gemara continues, Hayumis Anin Viyar de Geshavim Kodem Anetzachama, so that they don't have to complete the fast. It was by four sunrise. We Rabbi Lezer says that no, it has to be by Chatzos midday. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Hayumis Anin Viyar de Lam Geshavim Kodem Anetzachama, it was fasting and it rains before sunrise. Lo Yashima, they don't have to complete the fast. Lachan Anetzachama Yashima, however, they started fasting and the sunrise already came. At that point, they still have to fast That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kodem Chatzos Lo Yashim. No, it's midday is the cutoff point. La Chatzos Lo Yashim. If it rains before midday, because anyway, you have to show it's recognizable. You usually eat your time during the Chatzos. Chatzos Yom is when people normally eat. So if it rains before that time when people normally eat anyway, so then for sure you could continue eating. That's fine according to Belezer. However, if it's after Chatzos, it rains at 1, 2 o'clock, then you would have to finish till the rest of the day. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kodem Teisha Shas Lo Yashim. If it began to rain before 9 hours have passed, they don't have to complete the fast. However, if it rained after 9 hours of the day, they must complete the fast, because by that time, for eating has passed, even though that time, that's when you have to, that's his gather is a little bit later. He's fine. That King Achav, that he fasted from 9 hours the day onwards. Achav actually was, his nichna, he lowered himself, and this is the story of Achav, who was a terrible king, and Navos, the Israelis, but Navos wouldn't sell him the land. Achav's wife, Izebel, they decided to make up false charges against him, and they killed him. And Eliyahu said that as a punishment, his entire family is going to be destroyed. When Achav heard this announcement, he actually tore his garments, and he wore a sackcloth, and he said that, and he's humbling himself, that I will not bring evil in his ways, he's still going to be punished. So still we see Achav didn't accept himself the Isra of the fasting. Still, that was happening after his time was after the ninth hour. That's what the Gemara is learning out from over here. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Nisai, Gazer Tanis, and now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda Nisai once became a fast. It rained after sunrise, so how are we going to pass? Because the Gemara says, Savar Lashminim. So he said, we have to complete the fast, ruling like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Ami, Kodem Chatzos Vecha Chatzos Shinim. We learned in the Mishnah that opinion, he wanted to rule like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Ami insisted that Lacha should be like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, and also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa, that the obviously different Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. This is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Elai, earlier Tana. And that would be the Chatzos is the cutoff point, not the time of Netzachama. So now the Gemara continues. Shemuel Akatan Gazer continues. So one time Shemuel Akatan announced the fast. We already Geshamim Kodan Tzacham, and it rained before the sunrise. Because when Amlo Mar Shiv Chashal Tibur, everyone said, "Wow, that's amazing!" Since we were going to the fast, Hashem decided to bring the rain right away, and they were very happy. Amr Lahem Shemuel Akatan said, "No, Em Shulach Hamashal. I'm going to give you a parable. What this compared to? What is it similar to? Le'evet Shemvakish Pas Rabo. A servant who seeks to, he wants something from his master. He wants a prize. Amr Lahem. So the king heard about this prize that he wanted to give. Tono Valley Shmalakala, I don't even come here, I don't like him that much. Just give it to him, and so I don't have to deal with him. So that's also over here. Hashem didn't want to hear our tefillos. That was a bad thing over here. The rain came, it was signifying Hashem is not happy with us, and he doesn't want to hear our tefillos, and that's why he brought the rain to stop us from davening to him. Shuv Shmuel Katan Gazer Tanis, another time Shmuel Katan Daven proclaimed the fast when it didn't rain. And it rained after sunset. So people thought that it was the credit of the community that the rain didn't fall at the end of the fast day. Shmuel said, no. It's not a praise on the community. I'm going to give you a parable to what is this compared to. This is like the Madhav Adomer Le'evich Mvakech Pas Mrabo. A person, a servant who is seeking something from his master. So he said, master says to agents, wait until he's humbled and distressed excessively, and that only that point will you then grant him what he wanted. That's also not a good thing. Withholding the rain till the very end of the fast, Hashem was showing his displeasure with us till the very last point that we had in Nikach. Then he gave us our answer finally at the very end. So then, according to Shmuel, what is a good thing of the tzibur when you're fasting? The Gemara says, that we saw this Gemara earlier, that when one of the Tanaim would daven like that, that's what happened. Hashem said that you daven, Hashem brings out the wind, and all of a sudden the wind blows, and then as soon as you say, then you say the rain should fall, immediately the rain comes. That's when, that's immediate response to showing Hashem listens to our tefillos. Now the Gemara continues, Maisa v'gazru tainis belud, they were a fast decreed in Lud, and we told them to go eat, and then say the halal agadol. This is not halal mitzvah, this is halal agadol, the different kapitel tehillim. I think it's kuf lamed vav, wherever the other kapitel tehillim, not the kapitel tehillim that we say in halal in the beginning, what's called halal mitzvah. The words of v'nima halal meikar, so why don't they say halal right away before they go home to eat? The words of Abaye and Rava, they both said, because l'fisha in orim halal, we don't say halal, Ella al nefesh sveya bekeres meleya. You only say it when you're full, as Rashi says. The pasuk says in halal we say in halal gadol we say no sim lechal avasar kilam chasam, and all the kilam chasam, one of them we say that you're giving food, and if you're saying it in time of fasting, it's kilu like you're associated with the praising of Hashem. So you should only say it when you're eating. We're asking whether really ain't it? It's really true. The v'har rapapa ikla lebekanish da'ave govar. Rapapa once visited the city in the shul in the city of Abi Govar. Rashi explains that this name of either a person or a place, that's why they called it the shul. Where it says, the gazer tainis, and therefore he proclaimed a fast on account of lack of rain. The yardalam gesham nar chatzos, and the rains came before chatzos, v'amar halal, and they said halal first, only afterwards did they eat and drink. Not like the halacha that we just said before. This is the reverse. This is where they did the opposite. So the Gemara now says, Shani b'nei mechoza, that the b'nei mechoza are different because the shirichei b'hu shichrus. They drink a lot amongst themselves. If we would allow them, Rashi points out, we let them to eat and drink, they're going to get drunk, and then they're not going to be able to say halal at all. So therefore, Papa ruled that under these extenuating circumstances, therefore it's better for them to say halal even though they're not they have not ate and satiated, rather than not say halal at all. With that, we've just finished the parak over here. Hajjan alach sir tana selo. Hajjan alach sir tana selo. Hajjan alach sir tana selo. Pick up by the Zem. Shlosha prakim. Bishana akkara nosis kabem. We'll be as we get to that in tomorrow's daf.